Good morning.
Good evening.
How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I don't like that. We waited for each other there. That's not good. We need to be yelling at each other and interrupting. That's how we start this every week.
I'd be considerate.
I'm okay. I have a feeling a lot of what we're going to be talking about, since we do a lot of pop culture, 90s pop culture, is going to be Luke Perry. So,
well, it's not just Luke Perry. It's a very, very sad day for other than just Luke Perry.
What else happened?
Keith Flint committed suicide.
Oh, Prodigy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Which I found out today was not as, like, the Prodigy wasn't as big in the States.
No, they had...
They were massive in Australia, okay. And they were also massive in Britain. The Prodigy was high school, really. I remember Nirvana was sort of end of primary school, because remember, primary school sort of finishes for us in sixth grade. So it's sort of, Nirvana was sort of fifth and sixth grade, and then the Prodigy was sort of like, I remember year eight, year nine, it was massive. So very sad day.
Yeah, over here, it's, and that's something we can talk about too, is how, you know, some bands cross over, others don't. But yeah, Prodigy was one summer here. I think 97, spring into summer, they were really popular. And then, yeah, as far as mainstream, which was about as much as I got into it, we didn't hear as much about them. So, yeah, they weren't as big here. But, yeah, that's interesting. So they were...
Which frankly is funny, because they've been in a lot of films. Their songs have been used in a lot of films, and in a lot of big-budget films, too. You know, I mean, I'm just off the top of my head, I can think of the fact that they were in Charlie's Angel, the Charlie's Angel film, which, you know, was commercially a huge success.
Yeah.
Critically is something else, but...
So, and how many, now because I've heard you and I've heard you and your significant other talk about the film ratings on your podcast. So the ratings and reviews don't really impact kind of what you think about a movie. It doesn't really sway you from seeing one or not. Is that?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I never go by somebody else's opinion. No.
There you go. That's good. And and I can talk now too. I had a frog in my throat, but it's all good now. So,
well, geez. Hopefully, it didn't start out as a tadpole and just grow from there.
It did. It did, actually. When I said hello, I could start to feel it, and then, you know, So, okay, how many albums total? Because you could probably school me on Prodigy right now. So can you tell everyone more about the band? Now, for anybody that's listening in Australia, they're probably going to roll their eyes and be like, geez, the Americans had no idea yet again. But if you could take a couple moments just to kind of school us on this, I think that would be fantastic.
Okay, so Keith Flint was the lead singer in a band called The Prodigy, which is sort of, I think if you had to categorize them, they were sort of alternative, but also electronically alternatively.
Yeah.
They had a lot of, I think that the two biggest hits that I remember were Firestarter and Breathe. And this was back before, so MTV did not come to Australia unless you had pay TV. But in Australia growing up, you know, you knew it was Saturday morning because you would get up in time to watch the top 10 hits on the ABC's show called Rage. Rage went for 4 hours and it was all the Oz charts. But you only really cared about the top 10. And I remember it being, like, I remember Breathe in particular being just in that top 10 for weeks.
Yeah.
Weeks and weeks and weeks. And I think that was sort of the end of 96, beginning of 97. They had several albums, obviously, starting in the 90s. And they had more go on through the new millennium. But it was more the more the 96 to 2000, I think, was sort of the era for them, really. And they had songs like Firestarter Breathe. They had Smack My Bitch Up, which is just, I mean, the most horrendous title for a song. But I remember 15-year-old Rachel singing, you know, singing, loving that song.
Yes.
You know, because...
Well, and that was the one, I remember Smack My Bitch Up was the one that got all kinds of attention negative from the press. News over here. Yeah, that was the one that got all the pub in the news. And then, yeah, I remember Breathe was the other one. So I'm now looking.
What I find ironic about it is that, I don't know whether it made the news over there. At one stage, Australia didn't want to let Eminem to come and tour Australia because of his lyrics.
Yeah.
And I always found it really funny that people could hear a song like Smack My Bitch Up and go, no, absolutely not. I hate the Prodigy. But yeah, Eminem has sold, you know, more albums than most. And, you know, there are lyrics talking about, you know, violence, so much violence against not just women, but violence in general.
Yeah.
For me, sort of high school, it was kind of, today was very much 9-year-old to 18-year-old Rach was mourning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm sitting here, of course, as you're saying this, and I'm looking at their Spotify page and all their albums and
mm-hmm.
They had heaps
of albums. They were making albums up until a couple of years ago.
Yeah. It looks like their last one was 2018. So yeah,
He had famously made a quote as well saying that he didn't something about I actually need to look it up because it was something to do with suicide. And it was basically like how he would never commit suicide because he didn't have the courage to do it. And it makes me sad that somewhere along the lines he found the ability to do that. Just one second.
Yeah.
Which is also ironically and not a particularly lighthearted subject, but suicide was going to be on my list of things that I was going to talk to you about today anyway.
Really?
Because I signed up to do this challenge, didn't I?
Yeah.
So I'm doing a thing called Laps for Life where I'm swimming laps for the month of March. I'm raising money for Reach Out Australia and Laps for Life Australia, which is towards the prevention and awareness of teen suicide in Australia, youth suicide in Australia. And so it was on my list of things that I wanted to address today because I just think it's one of those things that we go, oh, yeah, no, we'll talk about it later. And we both come from countries that are, in terms of the rest of the world, we come from wealthy countries. Mm-hmm. And privileged countries. And that's not to say that everybody within those countries is wealthy or privileged. But we also come from countries that do not have low suicide rates. And Australia in particular, the one, you know, let's be number one in the world for the fact that men aged 25 to 29 that are Indigenous, we have the highest suicide rate in the world. And it just astounds me. It astounds me and it makes me feel hopeless. And what do we do? But I was sat on my couch. It was Friday night. I was flipping through Instagram. And this girl that I follow, Rowena, or Roey H, if you want to follow her on Instagram, came up in my feed in swimming cap and goggles saying I'm doing Laps for Life. And I thought, what the hell is Laps for Life? And I looked and I followed her link and then I followed another link and And then without even thinking, without even planning, without even anything, I signed up to do Laps for Life. And I thought, even if it's not a lot of money, even if it's not a lot, it's something. And if everybody does something, then, you know, because this is something we can help. This is something we can fix. You don't. Yeah.
So I had a, and there's some details and I don't know all the details, but the reason my response to when you said talking about suicide was on your list, and I did see the Laps for Life. There was a very loose business associate that I don't know all that well, but committed suicide last week.
I'm so sorry, Darryl.
Well, I just, and I think what this gets to, because again, in this particular case, the person I'd probably really only had interactions with a couple of times, but it is interesting when you're in highly developed cultures and countries and the suicide rate is so high. And yeah, it is something that, yeah, I just, personally, you know, because the surface level response is how could anyone let something get that, how can you go that far in your own head with what you're dealing with? But I mean, it happens all the time, and it's
100% has. Yeah. It's unfortunately it's not a new solution either.
Right.
It is very strongly connected to mental health.
Yeah.
So you have people who have chronic mental health, and then you have people that have psychotic episodes that result in them ending their life through, you know, very, very suddenly, as opposed to people where mental health has always sort of been a contributing factor. When you care for someone with a significant mental illness, and when I say significant mental illness, that's not to say that anxiety and depression are not significant.
Sure.
But the more prominent the mental health is in the person's character, the more likely you are to deal with suicidal tendencies. When you take on that role of carer, you are educated in just how likely it is for somebody's life to end through suicide. And I think that that's probably something that people don't consider when they think of mental health carers. They don't consider that that's in your forefront of your mind constantly, that every decision that you make is impacted by that. And people always say, oh, but it's not your fault. It's not your responsibility. Yeah, but it still feels like it is.
Yeah.
It still feels like it is. And people saying it's not doesn't make it any less. And so I think you know, when I was reading statistics today, because I wanted to give you information, right?
Yeah.
And when I read that statistic for Indigenous men, Indigenous youth, really, 25 to 29, they're still youth. In Australia, in this country that I love, and we're failing these men because we're not giving them anything. Like, how do you help? How do you start? How do you do anything for that? And so I took that frustration on Friday night and I put it into the swimming pool, basically. And if that's what I have to do, you know, and part of the reason, and I think this is something that you'll actually like as well, part of the reason that I really like Reach Out as an organization, is because they're dealing with a demographic that is mostly online, and so their service provision is highly online as well. So that kids don't have to ring a number. They can still ring a number, But they don't have to. They can talk to professionals online. They can access information about mental health online. They can do all of this without a referral from their doctor. They can do all of this without having to tell other people, because there's such a stigma to mental health. I'll just be happy because it's that easy. Just be happy. And this is the difference, right? It is normal in your life to feel anxiety in certain situations. 100%, it is normal. It is normal to feel that. It is it's part of our caveman days that tell us, do I fight the woolly mammoth or do I go home and protect my family from the woolly mammoth? Right? Fight or flight. But what is not normal is to have that chronic feeling of anxiety. That is not normal. That is not something that every person experiences. Just like it is normal in times of your life, particularly depending on circumstances, you have a friendship fallout, you lose a family member, you break up from a relationship, it is normal to feel depressed or sad. But it is not normal to feel chronically depressed or sad. And so, you know, as an adult, it's very easy to go, well, you know, that's not normal, go see a doctor. But as a youth in this generation, well, I'm not going to do that, am I? The first thing I'm going to do is Dr. Google. And if Dr. Google brings you up with reach out and there are people there to talk to, that's got to be a step in the right direction as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah. So, okay, I'm good. I'm off my soapbox now.
No, I mean, it's not a soapbox. It's something that, you know, we do need to have a lot of attention to, because, you know, I think it is good that they have the online resources, and you're right. I mean, with the generation coming up, especially in our generation, I mean, it's easier to text, and that's, or do like an online chat. That's the preferred way of communicating. And you're right. If you're an adult, and it's never as easy as, oh, we'll just go see a doctor. That's why anytime we talk about anything that has to do with mental health, I mean, I'm like, you know, even if you're slightly on the fence, you know, please, 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 please go see your doctor, knowing that, you know, and even if you don't feel like that's an option for you, you know, look at the online resources, but actually talk to someone, someone that's trained in doing this. Don't just go to Dr. Google, because I mean, we all have the running joke with Dr. Google that, you know, you're going to read something and within 5 minutes
you're either going to be pregnant or have a stroke. Yeah,
that's right. Yes.
What I will tell you though as well is that if you go to your doctor and your doctor is not recognizing that this is an issue for you, go to a different doctor, because some doctors okay, I'm going to use a really bad example. When I was 26, I had what most young women go through at one point. I had a pregnancy scare. And I was not ready to have a family, and I wasn't ready for anything. And the doctor that I saw was very much a, you've got to have this baby.
Yeah.
And sent me for further tests just to confirm pregnancy. And when I went for the blood test, the nurse doing the blood test said to me, now, if you want options other than keeping this child, when these results come back, if you're pregnant, call us and tell us that, because we will book you in with a doctor who will give you all the options. And some doctors don't view mental health as big a deal as others. And sometimes when a doctor is very familiar with you, they want to just do what your friends do, which is they want to make you feel better. Right? So they'll tell you good things and they'll pep you back up, but you know, sometimes it's very difficult to explain. So because I had cared for someone significantly with a mental health problem for a long time, I wore the repercussions of that. And I went to see my doctor, and I was so grateful that I took a friend with me. Because when I tried to explain why I needed to see a counselor, it was very quickly, at first, brushed aside until my friend turned around and went, no, no, no. You're not listening to her. You need to advocate for her right now. She needs help right now. And I was so grateful for that. So if you don't think that you have the ability to speak for yourself, take that friend that you need, you know, that friend that you kind of always want behind you if someone's ever going to have a go at you. and you want that friend that's got your back, you take that person with you because they will speak for you if you cannot speak for yourself. But I just can't, I just can't highlight just how important it is. I think as adults, we carry these worries, you know, because, I mean, yes, our youth suicide rate is very high, but so is our adult suicide rate. You know, men in their 40s, that's just out of this world. And the reason that that suicide rate is so high is because, yes, of mental health barriers, but also because of the pressures that we put on ourselves. Financial is a large reason. And the options are never ideal, but there are options. There are ways. And yeah, I just, please just see somebody.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, because you can't, the way I would imagine it is that you're living in a mental prison. I mean, when you're talking about chronic anxiety, I mean, it has to wear on you, and you have to feel hopeless. And, you know, you just, when you think about that, and we talk about, okay, the pressures with money and the pressures of people comparing themselves to others. I mean, it just, yeah, I can't even, you one, have to just feel exhausted, and two, you have to get relief from that. I mean, I just, over and over, that feeling, I feel for anyone that's going through it at any age, really.
I do too. I think the difference between being a teenager and being an adult, and I think this is something you and I have had a discussion about before. At the time that the show 13 Reasons Why came out, I was running a team that was running a program for youth with intellectual disabilities aged 18 to 24 years.
Yeah.
Now, the ability to function in mainstream was quite varied within this group. But because they were all watching this show, it was brought to my attention by our state manager that I needed to address it with them and that I needed to talk to them about it and what it was that they were seeing and how they were feeling. And one of my team members, this was actually just before I'd gone overseas, so this was just as I was finishing up in the role. Yeah. And one of my team members who was new to my team said to me, but why can't they just get past it? Why does it feel like it's the end of the world? And I said, well, because our brains don't develop completely until we're older. So to them, this is the end of the world. They lack foresight. They lack the ability to know that this isn't just how it's always going to be, because their brain is not completely developed enough to tell them that. So does it feel like the end of the world? Yes. Do they intellectually think it's the end of the world? Yes. I said, you know, the older we get, the more that develops, the more we are usually able to see that this is not a solution or that this is not the end. But at this age and the stage in life that they're in, it can very well feel like the end. And that's why it's important that we talk to them. And that's why it's important that we encourage them to talk to others. And I was actually, yeah, I think that it's really important that we have open conversations about everything.
Well, and I just, it's such a heavy topic, and I feel like, you know, there's a lot of things that we touch on here regularly over and over, and I think that's part of what you and I do here is, that's part of what makes it so special, is we will continue to hit on the stuff that we think is most important, and a lot of it is how people are viewing themselves and how they're, you know, viewing their situation, and it's just, I can't get over how rampant this is. And, you know, anytime somebody's going to kind of attack the, world that we live in now, with how connected we can be and how people are always on their phones and they're not, you know, we're not getting nearly as much one-to-one communication. I'm always the first person to say, you know, the phone is what you make of it, and you can connect with people from across the world if you choose to. And if you, you know, are feeling bad about yourself or bad about the people that you're connecting with, you can find other people to start talking with and start meeting with. And that's all true. But it is a major, major issue with how many people this technology can also be used to reinforce bad habits, or if they have mental illness, you know, a mindset that is negative, and this stuff can really cause a spiral. And I'm just sitting here and I can't stop thinking about the people that are really struggling with this stuff, and, you know, how every day is kind of a prison for them. And, you know, it's in their own world, whether they're, you know, a teenager and their brain hasn't fully developed, or whether they're, you know, 48 years old, and this is something that's kind of been going on their entire life. It's just sad to me, because it's like people literally can't get out of their own head. And it's just, yeah, I for some reason today, I can't get past that. So I just, yeah.
I know it sounds awful, but I kind of like that you can't get past it, because I think it's one of those things that we just have for so long,
yeah,
put in the too hard basket, because it's overwhelming. It's an overwhelming statistic. It's an overwhelming thing. And if you've never been suicidal, you can't contemplate. You can't. Do you know what? I went through an experience where I had my IUD taken out. And I experienced what they call the Marina crash, which they don't tell you about before it actually happens. and it is the only time in my life where I honestly thought that the world would be a better place without me in it. And that terrified me, because that is not the way I've ever thought. That is not something, I was never that teenager that just thought, oh, I could just die. You know, and the minute that I felt that way, I went and spoke to my doctor, and it was very easily explained through the hormone change. Okay. And so once I had that practical information in my head, yes, because I was an adult, I could talk myself out of that feeling. Right, this is temporary, this is temporary, this is temporary. It was still hard, but it was easier. I can't imagine what it feels like to be so trapped in your own mind, your thought process, your feelings, that seems like the only solution. I can't contemplate that. I've not experienced that.
Yeah, it's like, because I've never felt suicidal. And it's like when you're running through thoughts in your mind, there's either a line or a safety valve or something where it kicks off before you get to that point. And, you know, for anyone that, I guess, I guess fortunately, I can't wrap my mind around saying, okay, the solution is for me to just not be here, because the first thing I would think about is not only the fact of, like, the stuff that, you know, my life, but I mean the people around me and the people that, you know, that I would be leaving. Like, I couldn't, what it would put on them. I just can't go that far. Like, I think that's part of why this is so heavy, is like, I'm thinking about not only the people themselves that are going through it, but all those that are connected to them. And like you were saying before, I mean, if you're somebody, if you're caring for someone that has mental health issues, you know, you're very much aware of these statistics, and you're very much aware of, you know, this person may be taking their own life and what that's going to do for you and everybody else around them. And it's just, I think anything that we can do to bring awareness to this, and that there is help, and that this isn't, you know, normal, and it's not just, oh, cheer up, you know. Yeah. I think,
just be happy.
What's that? Yeah, just be happy.
Just be happy.
You know, and there's a fine line with that too, because I mean I am absolutely of the belief that in most cases, now if you don't have some kind of chronic mental health situation going on, you know, I think a lot of things you can reinforce with trying to train and change your mindset. It's not easy, but there's absolutely a lot of scenarios and a lot of situations where just being happy or cheering up isn't going to work. So you need to, we need to bring a lot of awareness to this, because yeah, in advanced civilizations, having suicide rates as high as they are, I mean, and where for all intents and purposes, we are very, very fortunate to be born in the times and in the countries we were born in. And the fact that the suicide rate is that high, I mean, yeah, it's something that needs to be talked about. And it needs to be, I'm so glad that the stigma around mental health has started to go away. But we still have a lot of work to do. It's kind of how I feel. And we need to continue to bring awareness. We need to continue to point people towards resources. And, you know, those resources need to evolve for the times that we're living in. So it sounds like there's been a lot of improvement. But yeah, I feel like there's probably still a long, long way to go.
I would agree. So. And then on top of it all, Luke Perry dies.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that it's funny, because when you see these celebrities now, they really, and you know, it's all angles and makeup and you know, some other things play into it, but it's funny because you don't really tie in one kind of the age of some of these folks that have been around forever. And it seems like Luke Perry for like 28, 30 years.
30 years, yeah.
Yeah, 30 years. So, and I mean, he was still very young, and I mean, it was a stroke that caused all this. Is that correct? That's correct.
Yeah. It was. And what I like about it is a few things. One, I like that it's now making people be more aware of strokes. That strokes, you know, strokes are not discriminatory. Strokes can hit men that are in their early 50s, that are fit and healthy and still working and all of those sort of things. But two, I kind of like that if this was going to happen for him, that it happened when people knew who he was again, mm-hmm. That he went out on a career high as well. So, Luke Perry was, I don't want to say my first real love. My first real love was Bowie, but Luke Perry was my second real love.
Yeah.
I actually tweeted today. So for 3 years there in the 90s, I had a fake newspaper article on my bedroom wall that said Luke Perry finds true love with Rachel. And then my last one. I loved him. I loved him in 90210. I have literally seen everything he has ever done. So I loved him in 90210. I loved him in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie, which my sister and I can quote in entirety. He just always seemed like a really nice guy as well, like really sort of genuine in everything that you ever saw of him, any interview, any behind the scenes. And I think that part of it was that he was this, you know, he was a pretty boy who had, you know, career development because he was a pretty boy. But I think he actually genuinely wanted to be a good actor as well. And he'd done a few things through the years that were sort of smaller and not as well known, but that were really enjoyable. And then for him to be on a hit show that was doing really well, sort of when it all ended, it was sort of his career finished the way that it started, which is that he was on a number one rated show. So
Well, and I heard yesterday when they were covering it on one of the like kind of one of the entertainment news stations, they said that he went for over 250 auditions before he got his first job. And
he did. He was working construction,
so he's doing what he needed to do. I mean,
yeah.
And he and I like that he, like you said, he finished. It was on a career high when this happened, but he. He was really, really big for, I feel like, yeah, probably from 90 to 92, especially. I mean,
sort of 89 to 95, he was very big, yeah.
Okay. Well, what was the bull riding movie he was in? Like 9 seconds?
8 seconds.
8 seconds. I give him a little bit longer credit on the ride there. But yeah, I remember that. And then I remember, of course, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And I as soon as mm-hmm. I was like, hey, Rachel and I are going to talk about this, that's going to give her a chance to go into Buffy. He didn't spend nearly as much time on as I thought. But
Pike isn't a name. It's a fish.
So, but yeah, it's, and I think that really, I think that the fact that he was able to kind of develop himself and did all these projects in between, which
it was also in the movie The Fifth Element, which nobody ever remembers. He only had a small role, but he was good in that.
That movie was big the same summer Prodigy was big here. So
yes. Yes. That movie also had Gary Oldman in it, which is why I love it so much, because you know me and Gary Oldman.
Yes, I'm aware. I got quiet for a moment because I knew that you're thinking about Gary Oldman, so I'm going to give you a few moments on that. But
that was much good.
Yes, yes. So I think that, and I think that you're seeing a lot more of the 80s and 90s nostalgia. I mean, it feels like they're kind of bringing a lot of those characters back. I mean, they're doing a reboot of 90210, aren't they?
Well, yeah, that's what made me sad, that this literally happened a week after that was announced. They did say when they announced it that they weren't sure if he was going to be in it, because he was signed to Riverdale. But my favorite thing, I actually, because I've read a lot today, my favorite thing I read about him was done by Colin Hanks. So Colin Hanks is obviously Tom Hanks' son. He's an actor in his own right. He was in Band of Brothers. He's in the TV show Fargo. I really like Colin Hanks. But he's just done the best dedication to him. And it says, I only met him once, but the story is too good not to tell given today's sad events. My wife and I are on a plane back from Mexico. A couple of rows ahead of us, these two brothers, young kids, are beating the hell out of each other. Their poor parents are powerless to stop the crying, the yelling, the screaming. Now, if you're a parent, you understand that sometimes there's nothing you can do. It was like this for close to 2 hours, and then about 10 minutes before landing, it started to get really bad. Out of nowhere, a man comes from first class, hat, beard, sunglasses, blowing up a balloon. He ties it off and hands it off like he's holding out a sword to a king, kneeling down, head down, arms up. The kids can't calm down in milliseconds. The plane damn near burst into applause. 15 minutes longer and it probably would have been World War III, but we landed before that could happen. We get off the plane and are waiting online in customs, and finally I get a good look at the guy and I say to my wife, "Holy shit, the blue man hero is Luke Perry." As luck would have it, we end up standing next to each other. Out of the blue, he turns to me. He says some kind words about Fargo, which blew my mind. I started singing his praises about how long I've admired him and also about the move with that balloon. That's a pro move. You can't teach that, I say. He tells me that he always flies with a couple for a very reason, to give them to screaming kids. I didn't know if it was true, but I had no reason to believe it wasn't. The guy seemed like a true gentleman. He's gone way too soon, and I'll also be damned if I didn't start traveling with spare balloons after that. I liked it. I liked, because you have the people that knew him and worked with him and they say the amazing things. But I liked, this was a guy who didn't really know him, but went, hey, this was just a really cool experience. You know, that kind of experience where you're all sat around dinner and go, oh my God, I met Luke Perry today. You know? Yeah. So yes, I was sad, as was like three quarters of Instagram.
Yes.
There were a lot of first boyfriend posts. I, of course, was advanced. He was my second boyfriend, so whatever.
Yes. Well, you and Bowie go way back.
Oh, we do. Yes. We do.
You were advanced. Good Lord. So who was your third boyfriend, Rachel?
Jonathan Brandis, who ironically killed himself.
Yes.
Jonathan Brandis, Sequest DSV. And he was in the movie Ladybugs, and he was in the second Neverending Story movie. I loved him. And I remember hating the little sister from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air because he dated her.
She took your spot, huh?
That bitch.
And we can't mention Jonathan Brandis without, because you know Gary is probably listening, Gary Cantrell, without mentioning Sidekicks.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Have you listened to Gary's interview with Joe Piscopo?
No, I have to. I did send him a message, actually. He had a thing up the other day as in his stories about random live podcasts. And I said to him, one of these days, you and I are going to do a random live podcast together. Face-to-face live podcast. So that is on my list of things to do. Yes. And it is something that I will achieve.
Yes. And I'm sure he was, I'm sure he was upset. I'm sure he was.
Yeah, I think he wrote back absolutely or something along those lines.
Yeah.
I feel like he's too popular now, like Daryl. Like when I message him, I'm like, I'm not cool enough to message him anymore. I was here at the beginning.
Well, you know what I will say about Gary is he is constantly on Instagram and he's constantly liking and commenting on posts. So even though he's I can't say big time because that apparently is a name he's reserved for me. He's doing quite well for himself, but he's still doing the things that he's always done. So we appreciate you, Gary, and everything that you're doing. And yeah.
And one of these days, I will buy a T-shirt from you and Daryl, and not just say that I will, but I'll actually do it.
Oh, it's crazy how you can actually. It's just crazy how you can come up with an idea in your head and like put it on merchandise now and people will actually wear it. And that's just, it's insane.
Yeah, I'll pretty much wear anything. So.
You know what? Yeah. you completely took the air right out of that balloon, didn't you? You'll wear it.
I was going to tell you. Yeah, every time I see somebody in my feed wearing a Hard Work Always Wins shirt, I'm like, oh, I'm such a bad friend. I'll get there eventually. I'm not there yet.
Well, don't feel that bad because I didn't buy my I have one piece of Hard Work Always Wins merchandise, and that's a beanie hat that I do wear often, but I didn't buy it until probably a couple months ago. So,
all right, but, well, yeah. I'm not as bad. I did ask him about a year ago, and he was going to look at like what it was going to cost me to ship it.
Yeah.
And he never got back to me, so I feel like I could throw this back. Gary, it's your fault. You never told me about shipping. So, you know, like I'm just not, it's not just that I'm a crap friend.
Well, I'll tell you, I haven't looked into, I know that I put together a shirt for you and I didn't look at the shipping. I know we can calculate it, but I'm sure you looked at it and you said it was really, really high to ship anything, which is,
It is. What I'll do is I'll just organize to order things for when I'm going to be in the States and I'll just find a pickup place.
Yes. And you've been to the States once, right?
I've never been to the States. No.
So whenever this place that you've never been to, whenever you decide that you're going to make your way over, you'll just have a bunch of things to take home with you. Okay, that makes
sense. Yeah, yeah, that works for me.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I have my list of things that I have to do in America. Are you ready?
Yes.
Well, now that includes a face-to-face podcast with Gary Cantrell.
Top of the list.
I did promise him that I would watch Poltergeist with him at some point. And I now want to go to Cincinnati Zoo because I want to hang out with Fiona.
Yes.
Everything else can wait. You know, the rest is just details, right? Disney World, Disneyland, Times Square. Why would anyone want to do that when you can go to Cincinnati Zoo and hang out with Fiona?
That's right. Hang out with the hippo and watch Poltergeist with Gary Cantrell.
Exactly.
So, yeah. You guys can...
Bill's got priorities.
Yeah, I... we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully that happens for you soon.
Well, I hope so, too. I'm always hopeful.
Yes. So, and we mentioned it last week, alluded to it this week, but your podcast, what's going on with that? Where are you, what are you thinking about? Because I know it's on your mind somewhat.
It is on my mind. Look, I'm going to develop it.
Okay.
I spent all weekend editing, like I said, I was going to. So I think that gives me some time. I think I want it to be, I go back and forth because there are certain things that I want to talk about there where it's just me talking, but I like the idea of conversations with people as well. So yeah, I'm sort of hashing it out. Once I get going, Daryl, it'll be like poetry in motion.
Yes. Well, you're talking to somebody that did one episode and then let it get into their head for 6 weeks and did nothing and then just said, screw it, I'm going to start putting all kinds of stuff out. And now it's like, it's crazy. And I want to let everybody know, because I've gotten messages from people that, oh, you know, when are you going to invite me on your podcast? There's pretty much an open invite for just about everybody. So if you want to be on, message me and we will figure it out. Because I love doing interviews. I love what I don't even and I don't look at like what you this is like a weekly show. That's what's so interesting about what you and I do. Like this is completely different. But I do like having people on and having them share their stories. And it's just it's nice. It's really neat that we're able to do all this.
Yeah, we've only once had it where you were almost interviewing me. Most of the time it's conversation. Just
yes, the interview was, what, about 2 to 3 weeks ago. But that was really fascinating, too, because...
Yeah, I enjoyed that, actually. Yeah. It was nice. That was about dancing, Rachel.
Well, and it was... I think that that's something... You know, with so much of what we talk about with people trying to lose weight, and there's a certain level of discipline that somebody has to have if they're just going to turn something on and off. And it's always fascinating to talk to somebody that was involved in an activity at a very young age that required that much discipline. Plus it's just nice. I mean, sometimes honestly, it's just nice to hear you talk. So, you know,
no,
yes.
That's kind of sweet.
Yeah. and then I'm waiting because it was funny. Like we've got, we're in the middle of cold season here. It'll be warm one day and then it'll be snowing the next. And it's, you know, the weather does wonders for your sinuses and getting you sick. And then I'm like, if there's ever an episode where Rachel and I both have head colds, maybe we'll just read children's stories and we'll,
well, see, I need to confess that after my stomach flu the other week, I actually have a head cold at the moment, Daryl, but I have done my best to keep my husky out of this podcast tonight.
Well, but this is, I can tell that you're actually starting to feel a little bit better because this is not the voice that really, it was so funny. Like the first time I came across anything that Rachel was on, which was Gary Cantrell's podcast, she was talking to him about this, how people were messaging her saying, hey, we just really would want to hear you read bedtime stories. Because you, yes, I guess,
this
you,
is true.
Didn't you have like, you had a bunch of people, like there were a lot more people viewing your stories that week that you were sick. Is that something that was going on?
Yes. Yes. I have a lot of, the ratio of male to female increases when I'm sick. There's always a whole lot more male listeners when I'm sick.
That's just so fun.
I think it's because I've naturally got a husky voice anyway. So what did someone say to me? I think it might have actually been Neil. Neil's like, you have a really low voice, but it's very feminine. And I'm like, okay. Because in my head, those two things are not connected. Low is generally a masculine thing. But when I get the husk in it, it's, yeah, people tend to enjoy it more, apparently. But I can put that on sometimes too. I don't do it intentionally.
Yeah, we don't want you to try to put. We want it when you're sick. We want it when it's natural. Because see, then what we'll do is we'll chop up that part of the podcast, and we'll put it as a separate audio file, and we're going to charge people $49 just to listen to that part on its own.
You really should hear me do Dr. Seuss. I kill it.
There you go. Whenever the next time Rachel's sick, we're just going to read Green Eggs and Ham and One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish, and whatever.
One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish is my favorite. That is my favorite to do. I got really good at them when my nephews and nieces were really little.
And I have to say, I'm so glad that you worked Neil into this episode, which I feel like we could do on every episode, because he is our number one listener, I would say.
Yeah, he sends me a message as soon as we're done going, is it up yet? Is it up yet? Bless him. He actually was the so I hit my target today for my fundraising amount that I wanted to raise.
Yes.
And I'd actually sent him a message saying, oh, I'm $10 under. I'm so close. I can't believe this. I've only been trying for 3 days. And he's like, yeah, you're not under anymore.
There you go.
And I was like, oh, and he's like, I can't, he goes, I kind of wanted to be that person that flipped you over the top. I'm like, oh, okay. So, yeah, sorry, you were saying you were kind of glad that I brought Neil into it.
I am glad that you brought Neil into it. And then also tying back to being an awful friend, I've not donated to your page yet, and I need to.
You don't need to.
I don't need to, but look. I'll look at it and see. I was on the checkout page the other night, and then I did not have my wallet on me, and apparently that was enough to make me be like, I'll get to this later.
There were people that donated that I was so surprised donated. Like, there's actually a few people that listen to your podcast that donated. Martha donated, and so did Denise. And I just, these are women that barely know me, and I'm just so appreciative. I'm so appreciative of anybody who can donate to any cause, really. The first person to donate was my best friend from when I was 10. And her dad, we used to always dress the same, and her dad used to call us the Bobsey twins. Actually, best friends since I was 8, because we were best friends when my dad died. I remember that. And now both of us have lost our fathers, and she and I are really good at saying we should catch up, and then we don't. We actually don't live that far from each other either. And we were so similar that I remember when we were in 10th grade, I got 2 points higher than her in math, and she got 2 points higher than me in English. So overall, our marks for 10th grade were exactly the same. And just very similar people.
Does she
listen? And she donated, and she put it under, you know, your Bobsey twin. That just made me smile.
Does she listen to the podcast, Gina?
No, I mean, she has 3 kids under 8. So...
Well, the only reason I say that, I think you guys need to actually get scheduled this week. Not that it has to be this week. You just have to get something together to where you can catch up.
I think that'd be good, yeah. I will, yeah, I did send her a message. When I saw her donation, I sent her a message, and I just went, you're amazing, and she just said, I'm proud of you, and I was like, we need to catch up and not just say we're going to. So, we'll get there. There are friends in your life. I love those friends in your life that don't hold it against you when you don't see them. Does that make sense?
It does, because it shows that they have a lot of awareness in the friendship that not everything needs to come back to them. I think anytime that somebody gets really ultra offended that you're not able to meet up with them, just, yeah, it makes total sense. I think it shows a true friendship where it's you're considerate of the other person. So yeah, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I think as well, you have people in your life that are there for the big things, and they don't necessarily need to be there on the everyday.
Right.
The essence of the friendship is that when you do see each other, it's wonderful. But when you don't see each other, it's still wonderful to know that they're in the world. And you know, and there are a few people that there are very few people that I put into that category. And one of which is she's actually one of my closest friends now. We've been friends for 20 something years. We never saw each other a lot, but when we saw each other, it was good. We see each other a lot now because location-wise, we live quite close. But I know that if I was to move overseas, my friendship with her would stay exactly the same because it was never about the distance or the location. It's always about the effort.
Yeah.
Yes, my doctor says I'm looking thinner.
When do you?
I walked in.
Yeah.
I walked in today. He's like, "You're looking slimmer," and I said, "You say that every time."
He does say that every time.
He's like, "No, this time I really think you are looking slimmer."
And you piped back and said, "What about all the other times?"
I said, "Yeah, I've had a stomach flu." And he's like, "Yeah, that's probably it." But I stood on the scales and I am slimmer. So, yeah, he just he's so good. He's just like head cold. I've got to know. And he's like, but temperatures, be careful with the temperatures. Okay. So I'm on fire.
I have not seen my doctor in a while. I need to probably do it. It's probably been 6 months. It hasn't been that long.
What I said to him was, I hadn't seen you for like a year. Now I've seen you twice in a month. And he's like, it happens that way with you, though, Rachel. Once you get really sick, you'll catch everything for a little while, and then I won't see you for a year. Like, okay. And I mean, realistically, truth be told, I went to see him today because I didn't go to work and I wanted a medical certificate. I got sent home from work yesterday because I was coughing so bad.
Yeah.
That the new boss said to me, go home. And I went, no, I'm okay. And she's like, no. One sick person can become five sick people. Please go home. And I went, okay. And I woke up this morning and I was sort of borderline and I thought I could probably go. But then realistically, if I went, I would probably end up back to where I started. And I think it was better that I spent the day sleeping, which I did.
That's good. You got your doctor's note. It's very responsible. And now, yeah, so I just that's one thing here. If you work in an office and you have any type of symptoms of, there's a lot of people that try to come to work when they have the flu, and that's just bad. Like, don't do that. But
see the problem too, though, with what I do for a living, because you have people booked in for appointments.
Yes,
if that means that your colleagues are going to have to squeeze those people in with their appointments. Or reschedule them and, you know, and given our clientele, sometimes you can't. So, yeah, I always feel bad, but I actually did get a message from one of my colleagues last night going, if you're not good tomorrow, don't come in, we'll cope. And I went, okay.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
So the burning question, it sounds like you're going to try to go back to work tomorrow, correct?
Oh, well, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, it was a head cold, but see, my problem is that, and it was the same with the stomach flu. I keep getting these really high temperatures.
Yeah.
So I keep getting fevers. If I wasn't getting the fevers, I'd be fine, but it's just the feeling like you're on fire when it's 100 degrees outside is not good either.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that for the first half of this episode, you really were trying to play it off like you weren't sick, and then we talked about sickness, and you're kind of letting it all out now. So I'm sure that's a relief.
Yeah, it was very hard to not. Just got this little tickly cough. It was so hard to not, even to the point where Chris had sort of said to me, "Are you really going to podcast?" And I went, I can't not.
So, yeah, two things. One, I think if you would come on here first thing and say, I'm sick this week, our listenership just would, like, triple because of all the weirdo guys that would be like, ooh, I got to tune in for that. And just how high of a priority this show is for us now. It's a big deal.
It is. Look, I'm not going to lie, Daryl. I love doing this show.
Yeah.
I plan my week around this show in the sense of I do not make plans on a Tuesday night because I enjoy this. This gives me purpose, and it also is a great way to unwind with a friend.
I think, and I think when we, I'm feeling the same way. I look forward to our conversations, and it's funny. There's times during the week because I don't like planning or scripting much of anything. And I think that's part of the reason we don't talk as much, even though we do send messages back and forth now for a while, which we weren't doing. But I like just going on here and catching up. And it is nice to kind of unwind and talk about whatever's going on in our lives or what's going on in the world. But I very much look forward to this too. And I think next week, I think you should be doing this show on your podcast. I think that's what we should do. I think, okay. Yeah. And like, we don't have to do that every week, but I think we need to get some people over to your podcast, but more importantly, we need to get you comfortable enough to kind of start doing your own. And it's funny.
But you know what?
What's that?
Sorry, no, keep going. You're on a roll. Keep going.
No, I think it would be, I think you have a lot to share. And I think once you get really, really comfortable doing this stuff on your own, I think that you're going to bring a lot of enjoyment and a lot of perspective and a lot of value to a lot of people. And I think a good way to transition into that is to do a few of these shows on your podcast, and you'll have some stuff over there, and then you'll get comfortable and you'll just be off on a roll. And it's not going to change anything, because like this is completely different, like I was saying, compared to like interviews or anything like that. We're just talking. So I think you're very comfortable doing this. I think this would be a logical first step.
Indeed.
Yes. And I do love that you had your significant other on as your guest, because when I saw that and when I was listening to it, I was very excited. You guys did very well too, playing off one another. That was fantastic.
He's not a talker.
Well, but no, he was chiming in and he was contributing. So yeah, you said that before about how he's not, he doesn't put nearly as much out there, but yeah, I thought it was nice listening to him, and you guys were on a roll. It was great.
I like, look, when I'm wanting to watch movies, I like all different people's opinions. I like people's opinions. I don't let them discourage me from seeing something if I really want to see something. But, you know, when I met him, the only movies he'd really ever watched were the Terminator movies. and movies like that, and so it's nice to watch someone, you know. It was the same with food. He'd only ever really eaten South African food growing up, and also McDonald's and fast food, but he'd never eaten Asian food. Or And here I am, and I'm like, I grew up in a part of Sydney that is highly multicultural. And so I had grown up eating 20, 30 different types of cuisine, and I kind of just, I love that. I love that about me and how I grew up, and I like sharing that with somebody. And so I like the fact that he now eats anything, and he now watches movies, and occasionally will turn and look at me and go, no, absolutely not. And I'll be like, all right, I'll take someone else to see that one then.
Or go by yourself. We know you have no issue.
I really don't. I think that you know what? I will not go and watch a comedy by myself, though, because I feel like a comedy is something that you need somebody to bounce off. I think comedies are more enjoyable with other people, but if you really like historical dramas, if you really like documentaries, you don't need somebody with you. Go and watch that stuff on your own.
Yes.
But yeah. All right. You know what? I'm going to make it a goal that by this time next week, I will have two further podcasts on that podcast.
Ooh.
It's a goal.
There you go.
I think it's achievable.
And I think, I'll tell you what, we could, because this is what, this could be very similar to what Gary and I try to do on Mondays where we have really, really short podcasts. I think it would be, and it would be entertaining for you and I to try to do a podcast episode that is only 10 minutes long. I think maybe
the Thursday 10.
The Thursday 10, yes. We could totally do that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And we could do that on we could do that on your podcast.
Done.
There we go. The Thursday 10.
The Thursday 10.
So should we do now wait, because see now I'm getting into like my whole planning and branding part of this. Should we do the Thursday 10 on your podcast and keep the longer episodes on my podcast?
I think that works. Yeah, I think that works.
And then every once in a while, like, I don't know, we'll just drop a really long episode on your podcast just to keep it. And then maybe, yeah, and then we'll just put, like, sprinkle some short ones in over here. You know what? This is really taking shape. The Thursday 10. I like that.
The Thursday 10.
So there you go.
And I have to use a different picture than the one that I created for yours.
Oh, though. Yeah, you're totally. You're going to be all
I'll about, create us another one.
Yeah, create all that cover art. That's all you.
Done.
Man, I'm loving this. So let everybody know if they're wanting to subscribe to your podcast, because you know they're going to want to hear all of the stuff that you have to say. Where can they find it?
Oh, okay. At the moment, you can find it on Anchor.
Yes.
But also, it's available to Raffle Store and everything as well, I think. From what I remember, Anchor distributes everything through those as well. What I will do is I will do a post on my page with all the information. For now, I have it all in my phone, which I'm currently using.
Yes.
So, I'm always scared to touch things when I'm... Okay, wait, no. Here I am touching stuff while I'm recording. I didn't want to hang up on you.
Yeah, no, it was funny because I was going to go to the... I did the same thing. I was going to go into the Anchor app and see where you were set up and point people there. But I'm like, oh, crap, we're recording. I can't...
Yeah, we're actually in Anchor right now, so...
Which speaks...
Okay, I'll tell you what. By next Tuesday, we'll have all this information up and running and I will drop it in next Tuesdays, but we will still have a 10-minute conversation on Thursday, you and me.
Let me go ahead and put that in my calendar. No. And let's see. The calendar is actually on my other phone, so if Willie Gillis is listening, I'm getting a lot of flack for having multiple phones, so he'll love those.
Okay, so can I just say, if Willie Gillis is listening, how much I love Willie Gillis?
Yeah.
I love to hear that. He's amazing. He is. I'm a new fan, but I'm a true fan, Willie.
There you go.
He's a sweetheart, isn't he?
He is. He's a very sweet man.
He is a very sweet man. I am a fan of Willie. Wow. I am a fan of Willie Gillis. If you're Australian and or British and you say I'm a fan of Willie, it means something different.
It means the same thing here, Rachel. We just weren't going that direction. Good Lord.
I'm blushing right now. Please save me, Daryl.
It's all because of Willie Gillis.
Like in my head, I'm thinking, think something that will get you out of this mess. But no, yeah, everything well, that I'm thinking well, so, is going to get you
let's,
further
let's,
into it.
Let me help you with that. So we're going to do, what time do you want to do this on Thursday? What time on Thursday night for you? What time do you want to do this?
I'm happy with any time that suits you, because it's only going to be 10 minutes. So
okay. So let's do... You're 14 hours ahead, I believe.
It's currently 9:42.
Thank you.
Wait, it's currently, you know, you're... Wait, if it's currently 9:42, my goodness, that means that you are 16 hours ahead of us? What?
Yeah, and because you're still going off the time set.
Oh.
When we have daylight savings.
Wait a minute. So, yeah.
When is daylight savings?
It's actually this weekend. It's going to be... All right, let me make sure that I get that. So, we're going to go... We're going to spring forward an hour, so you'll actually be...
Yeah, we spring back. Okay. We fall back because it's fall here.
Okay. So we're going to do... We'll just do the same time we do on Tuesdays, but we'll do that on Thursday.
Done.
Let's do that.
Perfect.
And you guys got
to... Listen to you. You're sniffly as well.
I am. But see, we're just now owning up to the fact that we're sick, so we can't charge $49 for this episode.
If, however, you would like to assign an individual episode, I'd be willing to go there for $49.99 for every 10 minutes.
There we go.
It's an expensive hour.
Well, maybe we could do, you know, we could just do like... children's book of the week where, you know, we're sick and reading children's books. It takes about 10 minutes and that's what we'll charge $49 for.
Do you know that there is actually a podcaster where all they do is read children's books to people so that they can go to sleep?
I wasn't aware of it. I'm not surprised. It's actually a pretty good idea.
Yeah, I a lady that I follow on Instagram was saying today that she listens to it to go to sleep.
There you go.
I get too invested in the book. I'd be like, what happens next?
That's
oh, great. Okay. And also, yes. It is Shrove Tuesday. Are you having pancakes today?
I had pancakes this weekend, but I guess I could have pancakes again.
I had pancakes for dinner because it's Shrove Tuesday. I'm that grown up.
Hey, you know what? Being a grown up looks a heck of a lot different than you thought it would. And that doesn't have anything to do with the fact that you can buy adult-sized footed pajamas at Target either. So,
oh, can you?
You can. You can buy superhero pajamas that have, that whole adulting thing, just that kind of drives me nuts, actually. When people are just like, I'm not going to be adulting today. Well, you still kind of have to.
Yep.
Sorry.
Adulting's a pain in the butt, but I still do it.
Yeah. Because, you know. Oh. Yeah, I think this is good. In this episode, yet again, we've turned things around. This was very, very somber for probably the first... No, I don't know where. And again, here we are.
We're I feel like it was about 31 minutes we talked about suicide, I think.
Yeah, it was. So, I mean, it's very heavy because that's a topic that needs to be addressed. And I think, yeah, that's one of those things that we can't talk enough about. But we've also transitioned to that, to where you are making a commitment to have 2 episodes up, and then you and I are going to do an episode. So yes, that's right. There's going to be 3 new episodes of Rachel's podcast by the time you hear us do this show again next week. So it's very
interesting. Rachel just had a moment where she thought, damn, I don't get to count one of those episodes.
No, and that's the thing. Like, I was thinking about this. I'm like, well, I could help her out, but I'm like, and say that'll be one of the 2 episodes. But I have a feeling like, Once you get into this, and we're talking about it again next week, and you've already got 3 episodes that you put out, and you've got this that you do every week, that you're going to be like, screw it, I'm a podcaster now. And then you're just going to start going, and it's, oh my God. So that's exciting. And I know a lot of people are really, really excited about that too, because I know a lot of people want to hear your perspective on things. And I know it scares you to death to be doing it on your own, but you're ready. You can handle it. I know you can.
Okay. I've got this.
You do.
You do. So, and I'm assuming, well, I'm not going to, so are you going to be somebody that, are you going to plan out your episodes, or are you just going to be like, hey, let's talk about this?
I always talk better when I'm not planning what I'm saying, but I pick a topic.
Okay.
So, when I'm talking on my own, that is. When I'm talking with other people, I don't pick topics.
So, are you...
Unless I say, hey, let's go to watch this movie and then talk about the movie.
Yeah. Which I think would be that would be a fabulous theme of your podcast whenever you go. You're, oh, yeah, you talking about movie trivia and stuff. Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Yeah. I think so, too. Movie Monday.
And then, well, what I was doing at first was anytime somebody would mention something that could possibly be a topic, I just had this running list of things on my phone's notepad. And I didn't number them or anything. I just would, I'd go through those topic ideas. I'd select one, cut, paste it into Anchor as the title, and there you go. But yeah, I'm the same way. I don't do well when I'm trying to write something out or plan it. I just give me a topic and see what happens.
I've now got, like, every day has got an alliteration in it. So it's, like, Movie Monday, which makes sense because, you remember, everybody always did Motivation Monday and I always did Movie Quote Monday.
Yeah.
Solo Sundays.
So don't be surprised if you tune in next week. We talk about Rachel's podcast and there's 12 episodes out.
We love Wednesdays, 10-minute Thursdays. Oh, okay. Yep. Yeah. All right. I'm good. I'm going to have at least 2 episodes plus 1 10-minute chat.
Oh my gosh. I love this. And so many people, so many people are cheering right now. Do you realize that you've made, there's people at work right now. It's going to be about 10:30 in the morning and they are just shouting with glee with their earbuds in right now.
Poor people.
And I have to tell you, and this will actually, this could, will probably bring up another topic, but Amber, who we listens to the show regularly, was telling me yesterday she laughed out loud. This is Deets Diaries over on Instagram. Laughed out loud at something that was said about this professional wrestler that follows cat accounts, and she said that it made her laugh. I said, were you at work, like with earbuds in, laughing out loud? She said, yeah. I said, well, then my day is made. Because that's what I really want to do. I want to get people's reactions when they're, you know, supposed to be sitting there quietly, and then all of a sudden at work, they just laugh out loud.
I do that sometimes when I'm listening to podcasts. Particularly, there's a few podcasts done by Australian comedians, and every now and then, they'll just say something, and I'll go... Oh, wait, everybody else on the train just thinks I'm that psycho that's just laughing at themselves.
That's okay. You got to keep people off balance.
It also means nobody's going to try and sit next to you and take your space either. It works.
It does work. Good strategy.
All right, we should wrap this up.
Okay, let's do it. What should the question this week? Let's see, question this week.
Oh, wow.
Who was your, ask people who the third boyfriend or girlfriend was.
Yes. I was so going to say that. You and I are on the same page.
I know, but did you see how, like, I had to cut you off because I knew you were going there?
Gonna say. All right. So we want to know, but does it have to be celebrity?
Yes.
I think celebrity is better. Yep. Okay.
Yeah, all let's right. do celebrities.
I'll pose it as a celebrity question. Yeah.
Yeah, because if your third girlfriend was Caitlyn, I mean, we're sure Caitlyn was a nice girl. But
we don't know her and we don't care. We don't know her.
So I'm trying to think because, like,
who is yours?
Oh my gosh, you already gave yours. Let me think of who mine was. I can tell you my first celebrity crush was Madonna. I was 3 years old and 3 or 4, and I remember I had a dream where I just got up and watched MTV with Madonna when I was a little kid.
Aww. And yet,
I was one of those kids in the 80s that apparently watched a lot of MTV. So I was babysat by the TV, but look, guys, I turned out fine. Kind of, sort of, maybe. let's see, second one.
Oh yeah, second one would have been Jody Sweetin from Full House.
From Full House.
Yes.
She kicked a drug problem and came back.
That's right. We all love comeback stories.
We do. Good, Jody.
So yeah, so third, oh my gosh. Third would have either been Jennifer Love Hewitt or Jenny McCarthy. It was around the same time. So
I'm going to go with Jennifer Love Hewitt because I don't like Jenny McCarthy. You know why I don't like Jenny McCarthy?
Why don't you like Jenny McCarthy?
Because she's married to Donnie Wahlberg.
Okay, well.
That's not fair. And she seems really nice on that show Wahlburgers, and that just makes me dislike her even more. How dare she be nice when she's married to my
So my thing with Jenny McCarthy was when she was on Singled Out on MTV.
Oh, I never.
Oh my gosh, no. There was a major one in between. In between those, and that has to be my third, and that would be Topanga from Boy Meets World.
Oh my gosh, Topanga!
And I don't know how I just went over that, but yeah, Topanga. That's totally mine. That's probably going to be.
What was her real name? Was it
Danielle Fisher?
Yeah, I thought so. Like, don't just jump in there and tell me or anything.
That's right. Told
you. You just totally mocked me there, man.
I know. Well, you know, we're closing things up. We started off really kind of slow and somber, and now, you know, that we're wrapping things up, we're talking about celebrity crushes and all that. It's all good. And we're going to be doing a 10-minute episode on Thursday on your podcast.
Yes.
We established that we're both huge fans of Willie Gillis.
Yes.
Although the funny thing with Willie, because he's like, he gives me crap for the two phones, and then he's like, when are you going to have me back on your podcast? And I went through I was like, okay, you know, look, there's you can come on whenever you want, seriously. And I'm like, wait a minute, you have a podcast, and I've never been on it. What's the deal here, man? So Willie, you got to have Willie.
If you're listening, you should have me on your podcast before you have Daryl.
Yeah, go for it. That's fine.
Well, just because we need to pay him back for the comment he just gave me.
Oh man, yeah, you can be on Willie's podcast. That would he? I'm sure he's going to invite you before he invites me anyway.
Well, that's because I'm awesome.
Yeah, you are. You're awesome. I am the sidekick here. I'm cool with it. It's awesome.
All right, my friend. I will talk to you on Thursday.
That sounds wonderful. I'll talk to you then. Have a good night. Bye.
You have a good week. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.